Welcome to a special episode on phage therapy today. This is your host, Stephen Young. Now, if you are new to the science and want to have a better understanding of how phage therapy works and what is phage therapy, this episode is built right for you. So we're on the same angle going into future shows. If you are already in the industry, also feel free to stay and hope we can share some new perspectives and make it informative for you guys as well. Joining me today is Dr. Irene Chen, Associate Professor at UCLA Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering Department. Dr. Chen did her academic study from undergrad to her MD PhD and her postdoctoral work at Harvard. She's a principal investigator in the field of origin of life and currently on bacteriophage engineering. So Irene, thanks for joining me today on the show.
Thanks, Stephen.
Yeah. So to start our conversation today, besides the obvious fact of I invited you here, so why are we here talking about bacteriophage today, especially in the year of 2021, beginning of 21st century? What's the background here?
Well, I guess in the past year and a half, we've all seen how important infectious diseases are and how quickly they can spread because of exponential dynamics. So, we've been talking a lot just because of the pandemic about viral infectious disease, but it's also really important to remember bacterial infectious diseases. We tend not to think about them much because of the success of antibiotics. And, you know, if you have a bacterial infection, let's say pneumonia, if it was untreated, would be very dangerous. But you can go to the doctor, get some oral antibiotics, and you're basically cured after a couple of weeks. That's a pretty recent development, you know, thinking about the timeline of human life back in from the 1940s onward. The antibiotics that we have are almost entirely, there are a few exceptions, but almost entirely natural products. So bacteria produce these antibiotics to engage in a kind of bacterial warfare among themselves. And we have co-opted their products for treating bacterial infections. That means, though, that bacteria have also, as a global community, bacteria have also developed a lot of resistance mechanisms in their evolutionary war against each other. So it doesn't take long for resistance to emerge to antibiotics. And we've seen a lot of that probably in the news. People have come across quote unquote superbugs, these highly resistant microorganisms, highly resistant Staph aureus infections are quite concerning in the community. So the fact that there are a lot of pre-existing mechanisms to resist antibiotics, and there's strong selection for organisms that are resistant because of the presence of antibiotics, we're entering a period of time when they're becoming less effective and the frequency of resistant organisms is increasing. I think we're fortunate so far that it hasn't become a crisis yet, but it's kind of a slow moving train. And with any infectious disease, we're going to see it kind of slow in the beginning and then accelerating as time goes on. So it's important to develop new alternatives early so that we have them, you know, in the freezer for when we need them.
Right. And I guess that kind of leads right to the question of what are bacteriophages, and what is phage therapy?
Okay, so phages are viruses, but they infect exclusively bacteria. So people are probably familiar with the idea of viruses that infect humans or other mammals, but phages are also viruses, they infect bacteria. So that means that they are just basically nucleic acid, so genetic information, which is packaged inside some kind of shell, made of protein and maybe some lipids as well. So these are able to infect, deliver their genes to bacteria, and that can have the effect of killing bacteria, much like a viral infection might kill the mammalian cell. In this case, they kill bacterial cells. Or they can be used, if they're engineered properly, they can be used to deliver other things. So the idea of phage therapy, I think the oldest incarnation of this idea goes all the way back to the discovery of phages in the 1910s. The first people who discovered phages thought, hey, these lice bacteria, they eat bacteria. That's what bacteriophage means. So maybe we can use them to destroy bacteria. So that idea has been around. The phage therapy as a field is kind of had this period of, I guess, stagnation when antibiotics came around, because these small molecule antibiotics are so effective and easy. And now people are starting to revisit phage therapy and some other antimicrobial strategies because of resistance to antibiotics. Traditional way to think about phage therapy would be somebody has a bacterial infection. You administer the phage. The phage lyse or kill the bacteria in the infection, and they're simultaneously multiplying using the bacteria as their food. So it becomes an ongoing process in the patient. And the hope would be that those phages would be able to destroy the infection, or at least reduce it to a level that the body's immune system could kind of mop up the rest.
Right. In terms of a comparison to antibiotics, what are some of the similarities or differences, I guess, in the mechanism of antimicrobial process?
Oh, probably the biggest difference is that antibiotics are generally small molecules. So they have a specific action. They do not replicate. They might, let's say, interfere with cell wall synthesis or some other essential process in the bacteria. And that's usually by binding to some protein or lipid or other target inside the bacterial cell. For a virus, the mechanism is infection. So the virus as a particle has to bind to the bacterial cell and then deliver its genetic information into the cell. And then once those genes are inside the bacteria, the viral genes are expressed, and those viral proteins will take over some of the host resources for the purpose of producing more phages.
Right. As you mentioned, like, phage is not a new idea. Phage is not like something that's been recently discovered. And of course, the fact that antibiotics play such a heavy presence in the antimicrobial history also stopped development for a little bit. But why, if this idea has been there for so long, if it's able to be used as therapeutics, why is it not already a widely available option for the patients?
Well, I think we're watching the technology emerge. So it has been used in kind of one-off situations. And I think that probably in your podcast, you'll be talking about some of those cases of one-off kind of emergency situations where it's been approved for like a single use on a desperate case. But if you look at the broader picture of bacterial infections right now, there aren't that many cases which really require, which I guess so far at least have required a new development. I think that this is the kind of research that you have to think, okay, 10 years, 20 years from now, what is the bacterial population going to look like? How widespread will these resistance genes be? People are trying to slow down the spread of resistance. I think it's inevitable that, you know, resistance to antibiotics is going to spread, and we can slow it down by some public health measures, like not using antibiotics recklessly, you know, not prescribing them for viral infections when they're useless, trying to reduce their usage in animals. There's a lot of antibiotic stewardship that can happen to slow this process, but it is probably still going to happen. So we just need to be prepared, and people are starting to, it's become, although I guess not an emergency, it's become urgent enough that people have started to do it.
And also, I also want to go slightly deeper into truly understanding what is the power, like how does phage therapy as a re-emerging biotechnology, re-emerging natural product, like how does it empower us as scientists, as clinicians who are trying to use this? And I think there are a few properties. I want to share this with you, see if you agree with me. A few properties I think phage therapy has. The first one being, it does not stand alone as a technology for antimicrobial. It seems like antibiotics is playing such a heavy presence in the history. So we're always comparing to antibiotics. We're always thinking about what can antibiotics not do and where are the gaps when we develop these new products we're trying to fill into. So how do you envision this symphony between antibiotics, between phage therapy? How should it work?
Yeah, that's a good point. So one of the things that antibiotics have, like a major advantage of them compared to phages, is their, at least for some of them, the ability to be very broad spectrum. So if you don't know what organism is causing the infection, and that's often the case in the beginning before you've identified the specific species of bacteria, then you can give a broad spectrum antibiotic that'll probably kill whatever is causing the disease, even if you don't know what that organism is. Whereas for a phage, phages tend to be more specific against their hosts. There's a range of specificities. Like anything in biology, it's highly variable depending on the species or the strain of phages you're looking at. But a lot of them are quite specific. And so you would want to have some knowledge of what organism is causing the infection before you give that as an intervention. So I guess I could imagine a scenario where somebody might present to the emergency room, perhaps it's a you know, advanced bacterial infection. In order to keep them out of, let's say, intensive care or some serious medical interventions, you don't want to wait to treat them. So you start out giving them something broad spectrum, like an antibiotic that's broad spectrum. And then once you have had a chance to analyze the bacteria in their wound, then you can go in a little bit, or in their infection, you can go in with a little more of a specific treatment. So there's probably, if we could see this as, like you said, a symphony of different technologies working together, I think that is the strength of antibiotics compared to phages, at least for the time being. Who knows what new technologies will bring, but for now, I would imagine that antibiotics would still have kind of a primary role in that kind of early phase of an infection. If you discover that the organism is resistant, then at least you've had a little time to analyze what the organism probably is and test it against your phages.
Yeah, I think one very good point you brought up over here is about the timing of treatment. Basically, it goes back to the patient population, which is, for any biotechnology, is the first thing I think innovators should be thinking about, because technology defines content. What kind of content, I guess in our context, would be the patient population? What kind of patient population do you think would be best suited for phage therapy as of today or in the future if the area gets more developed?
Yeah, so for today, we're trying to head off the gap where people might be infected by organisms that are highly resistant to antibiotics. And there are some infections where resistance emerges during treatment, which in terms of the selective pressure that antibiotics are putting onto the bacteria, perhaps it's not surprising that resistance emerges during the infection. So that would be the critical place, I think, for something like phage therapy, is in these cases where they've already resisted treatment by standard therapies, particularly antibiotics. In the future, I guess it's kind of hard to say whether you might prefer one treatment over the other, but I think right now you kind of, during this development phase, you would consider it in more advanced cases.
Right. And I guess the third point I want to make about phage therapy, or I think this maybe kind of apply to a lot of a lot of antimicrobial drugs is, as a service, there's no consumer loyalty to this product. So if you think about it this way, aspirin, the most widely taken drug, every year there are 34 billion tablets being consumed in the US of aspirin. It's not an addiction, but people have loyalty. When there's a problem, people take aspirin. There are other kind of sometimes drug abuses, and or in another term, there are preventive drugs for cardiovascular diseases. Patients have loyalty for those drugs. They will consistently take them for years, 20 years, 30 years. But in the case of antimicrobial drugs, there is no such a thing as loyalty. So of course, the idea of being sick and being have to treat it should be a thing that patients kind of want to avoid. But at the same time, any kind of microbial drug will be a one-time use. When you have a problem, you come together, maybe in a course of 7 days, 2 weeks, it's done. And then the drug gets placed back on the shelf and it stays there. So I think that is one potential reason why a lot of the big pharmas are getting out of the business for antimicrobials. But also, I think this also provides a huge opportunity for phage therapy. The reason being, it really is a disruptive technology. It can bring people to challenge the stereotype, because antibiotics has been there for so long that everything, the whole system, the regulations, investments are using that system to judge whatever other products coming in. But phage therapy, it stands alone. It's not, from a very basic scientific perspective, it does not share the same category using a small molecule, using something that's there, that stays the same, and they use it for treatment. But phage therapy is being adaptive, it's able to host a very large spectrum of them. So I think maybe there could be some customer loyalty. And also, like, beyond that point, phage therapy can also be used as a potential preventive measures for antimicrobial treatment. Because usually in the case of antimicrobial, after the infection, the reason why we'll go to the doctor is because it has become more serious. But what about in the case of a orally taken, I think this is already the case in some Eastern European countries, that you can just take phage therapy drugs off the shelf as a preventive measures. So I just want to see what you think about this as a brand new technology, a cool technology that people can get interested in, and something that can challenge the current stereotype.
You've brought up a lot of interesting points. So I think what you said about kind of loyalty to the drug is, or I guess another way to put that is that because antibiotics or antimicrobials work so well, you know, they're basically a cure for a disease, that compared to a medication that you take for a chronic illness, where a customer, a patient has to take it for, you know, decades, perhaps, the incentive for a pharmaceutical company to go through the investment of developing a drug, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars invested in a process like that, is, you know, not as high for something where the treatment only lasts for 2 weeks compared to where the treatment would last for decades. So that's, I think, a serious problem that we have to deal with for any treatment of infectious disease. Of course, if the problem is huge enough, if you let the problem get really big, for example, with COVID-19, then people will be interested in solving that problem. But we don't want to wait that long. Ideally, we'd like to try to, you know, head this off early and not get to kind of a pandemic level problem with bacterial infections. At the moment, this is probably a place where a lot of development is going to happen in academia and government labs, which don't have the same requirement for like financial incentives. So I guess that is a place where we could see greater development. But then there are some interesting applications that are coming out now. Like, I guess there are companies making products for food safety, and maybe some other, there might be some other niches before you get to sort of the idea of trying to replace antibiotics in bacterial infections. There could be some other niches for phages. So I guess that's going to be an interesting conundrum for the companies that are interested in phage therapy to think about. And then you also mentioned the idea of I think kind of probiotics, like phages as probiotics. And that I could see how that's connected to your question about how might this become a treatment that gives a sufficient financial incentive to a company to invest in it. And a probiotic would be something where a patient or a healthy person might take that on an ongoing basis. I could certainly imagine, a phage, much like how people take lactobacillus as a probiotic to improve digestion and improve the composition of their microbiome. One might take phages, which would also have an effect of altering the microbiome to try to promote a healthy composition of the bacteria that are living with them or on them. So yeah, I think that's a really interesting area for development. And I'm also really excited to see what people come up with. You can imagine that that's gonna be a nice entry point potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's actually where all academia industry and also regulatory influences are all trying to figure out about what can we do with this technology. And I think this is a very good intro, a mini lecture, so we can carry these questions forward into the future episode. So thank you so much, Dr. Chen, for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Stephen.
Wonderful. That's Dr. Irene Chen. I'm Stephen Yang, and you're listening to Phage Therapy Today. If you like what you're hearing, follow us to tune into future episodes and give us 5-star. If you have any questions or feedbacks, email us at phagetherapytoday@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.